Welcome to episode 1 of the Bible Q&A with Pastor Stephen. My name is Stephen Pace, and I'm the senior pastor at Decatur Bible Church in Decatur, Michigan. This podcast attempts to answer Bible questions in a clear but thorough manner. If you would like to have a Bible-related question considered for a future episode, please email me at pastorstephendbc@gmail.com. Again, that's Pastor, S-T-E-V-E-N, D-B-C, @gmail.com. In this episode, we'll be looking at 3 questions, so go ahead and grab your Bible before we begin. The first question that we're going to look at answering is, why is it that only God can forgive sin? Aren't we as Christians supposed to forgive others? The question is rooted in Luke chapter 5 and verse 21. There Jesus had announced to a paralytic that his sins had been forgiven, and the scribes and the Pharisees that were present heard him say this and stated that he was blaspheming because only God can forgive sins. Of course, their statement is correct in that only God can forgive sin. Now, of course, as the Gospels progress, Jesus is revealed as, of course, the eternal God in the flesh, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. But at this point, of course, the statement is true in the sense that only God himself can forgive sins. You can see this rooted throughout the Old Testament. For example, in Isaiah 43, in verse 25, it says, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Essentially, the idea is that since God is the Creator, the one true God, and ultimately, when we sin, we break His standards and His laws and His statutes and so forth, we are ultimately sinning against Him. And since sin ultimately is against God, He is the only one who can forgive it. A good example of this you'll find in Psalm 51 and verse 4. In that passage, what you find is David, after he has been confronted by Nathan, the prophet, after David had committed his transgression with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, verse 4, David says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." You'll notice that David says, "Against you and you only have I sinned." Now, obviously, there were offenses and many negatives that came out of David's transgression with Bathsheba. There were many things that would require forgiveness and so forth. But you'll notice that David essentially says that the sin ultimately is against God, and he needed to have God to forgive him. You know that this psalm probably pretty well, because verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So he knew, David did, that ultimately God needed to forgive him. Yes, there were consequences and forgiveness was needed on the human level, but ultimately that sin was still present unless God forgave it. Actually, you can find another similar example in Genesis 39, verse 9. Joseph essentially says the same type of thing, although Joseph didn't commit the sin like David did. The situation was similar, and he essentially says ultimately he would have sinned against God had he gone forward with what was there. So again, that's Genesis 39, verse 9. So only God can forgive sins in terms of being justified before him. We think of theologically, justification is by faith alone in Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and so the only way to be right before a holy and righteous God is to have the forgiveness of our sins through Christ. And that, of course, comes by believing and trusting in Christ. Now, of course, the statement comes up, which is that as believers, we are to forgive others when they wrong us. And that's true as well. You see this in, for instance, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Paul says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus also forgave you." So we are to forgive others in a like manner. But ultimately, all sin must be forgiven before a holy and righteous God. Another way to think of it is, if an unbeliever sinned against you and I, of course, we forgive them. Would they still need to trust in Christ for forgiveness? And the answer is, of course, yes. So the answer to that question, again, is why is it that only God can forgive sin? Because all sin is ultimately an offense against Him. Are we supposed to forgive others? Yes, as Christ Jesus forgave us, we are to as well. Now, as we move on to the second question, this one is somewhat of a could-be trick question. The question is, what is the shortest book in the New Testament? Now, when you look at the New Testament, of course, there's a variety of lengths of the books that are in there, and you might be thinking Philemon or Jude. But in fact, this one could be somewhat of a trick question depending on how you answer it or ask it. The shortest book in the New Testament, 3 John, which contains 15 verses, has 219 words. 2 John, although it has 13 verses, has 245 words. So the answer to the question would be, in terms of verses, 2 John, because it has 13, but 3 John, of course, contains 219 words. So those two letters are typically seen as the shortest of the New Testament letters that we have. And 3 John technically would be shorter in that it has 219 words, of course, depending on your translation. Now, the final question that we have for this episode is, there are a lot of Jameses in the New Testament. Is there an easy way to keep them all straight? Well, there is definitely that. There's definitely several Jameses throughout the New Testament, and it can be rather confusing at times, especially since there is a book or a letter, if you will, called the Book of James. So the question is, how do I keep them straight? How do I keep them in my mind so that I know which one is which? Essentially, probably the best way, the simplest way, is to remember that the New Testament has three Jameses in it. The first one is James, the son of Zebedee. That's the brother of the Apostle John, of course, a fisherman, like his brother. And he is one of the 12 apostles. He's actually part of the inner circle. So, for example, when the Transfiguration occurred, Peter, James, and John were present, whereas the other apostles were not. So the first of the three Jameses is James, the son of Zebedee. So again, that's one of the 12 apostles that we'd be more familiar with. The next one is James, the son of Alphaeus. That's A-L-P-H-A-E-U-S. He's sometimes called James the Lesser, depending on what, again, translation you use. Now, the idea of lesser is either that he was shorter in status or that he was a younger brother, for example. But in any case, he was, of course, one of the disciples, apostles of Jesus, but not very much is known of him. We have just a few occurrences where he appears alongside, for instance, the Book of Acts. We see him there and a few other places where the apostles are mentioned. But not much else is known of James, the son of Alphaeus, or James the Lesser. So with him being the second one, that leaves us with one more. And this is James, the brother of the Lord Jesus. Now, this one is always and has been fascinating for me, James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus' brothers and sisters initially didn't believe, which helps us distinguish between the former two that I mentioned. James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, eventually did come to believe in Christ after the resurrection. So again, the power of the resurrected Christ, and James there, the brother of the Lord Jesus, turned in faith and trusted in him, and of course later on would write the book of James. So again, hopefully that is helpful. Again, the answer then is there are a lot of Jameses. How do I keep them straight? Well, the best way to do that is to remember that there are three in the New Testament. There's James, the son of Zebedee, one of the 12 apostles in the inner circle, the fisherman. Then you have James, the son of Alphaeus, James the Lesser, not much known of him. But then third and final is James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, and how he initially did not believe, but then came to faith in Christ after his resurrection. So hopefully that'll help you keep them straight as you read the New Testament. Well, that concludes today's episode. Be sure to tune in for our next one, and may God bless you.